Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
There's enough taxes. We pay road tax on every gallon of gas. That's what that's for. So if you can explain to me why I'm paying road tax, but you still want to put a toll on a bridge, I would appreciate that. Fort Walton has no toll. Destin Bridge has no toll. Perdido Key has no toll. Now Pensacola Beach has a toll, but they also got a lot more shopping and a lot more restaurants. And they got the national park. So I really think this is something we need to look at real hard before we go putting a toll up.
You know, the reason why we don't have tolls on the bridge, you know, going into, I think it's Brooks Bridge, it goes to Santa Rosa Island, and then the bridge going over to Destin, is because that is actually Highway 98, and you're not gonna toll the state highway. There'd be no difference if we decided to toll from Tiger Point going into Navarre. I mean, you can't do that. But a bridge going to Barrier Island at a significant expense, there's no way you can build that bridge and not toll it.
They're going to put a toll just to enter Navarre? Is that what I heard him say? No, we're not going to. Not going to. Not going to. Although I will say the idea that you just can't put a toll on Highway 98 going into Navarre, tell that to Alabama Department of Transportation that's going to rebuild the causeway, and put a toll on I-10. You would have thought you couldn't put a toll on I-10. Well, guess what? That's coming. I keep telling you about it, and I seem to be the only one yelling about it, but there it is. Anyway, so conversation, Santa Rosa County Commission, the committee meeting yesterday morning at Tiger Point, at the community center in the south end to get some different perspectives. Martin Early there raising the questions about, you know, hey, you can't put a toll on that bridge because we pay taxes. Well, yeah, but you still have toll bridges. I mean, the one does not exclude the other. So they were talking about the idea of having a PD&E, which is the kind of the early version of the planning for the bridge. And Brad Baker introduced the item.
Mr. Chairman, the first item is approval to issue a request for qualifications for the Navarre Causeway Bridge PD&E study as discussed at the October 9th.
That's a project development environment, in case you're not familiar with it. Ray Eddington, the commissioner from District 4, who had in the previous meeting suddenly announced that the tolling plan was completely off. He, I guess, had it with all of the public pushback against that, and it's not going to happen, but he was wanting to answer that guy and also advance the PD&E concept.
Took it off at our last one. I took it off. Nobody. I do like to know how we're going to pay for it.
I met
with some people this last week that's going to try to help me get a bridge started. We're going to do the P&E study here.
That's going to be important, by the way. But yeah, the problem is the bridge needs to be replaced. The Navarre Beach Bridge needs to be replaced. And then how to fund it. And I keep saying, well, you know, if you hope for it, maybe magic fairy dust money from heaven is going to come down, or from D.C. or from Tallahassee or who knows. So Colton Wright, the voice you heard in that first pair of clips, says,
I'm going to throw out an idea that may not be very popular, but I do think this is an item that we should probably at this point take no action on. And here's why I believe that. No doubt in my mind, a PD&E definitely needs to be done. I think we may have an opportunity, though, where we could save money and not waste more time.
Oh, tell me more. I'm curious.
As Commissioner Eddington just said, you know, I'd like to know how we're going to pay for it, how we're going to pay for a bridge. And we hear somebody from the audience say something about no tolls. And there's no doubt in my mind that if and when a new bridge comes along, it will be tolled.
That's true.
It will have to be. No different than Bob Sykes Bridge on Escambia County going to Pensacola Beach is tolled.
Yeah, get accustomed to the idea that when there is a new bridge to Navarre, it's going to have a toll. How much? Well, you know, remember the toll study said 2, 3, or 4 on the existing bridge. I would think that's a reasonable range to expect. You know, there's going to be a discount for locals, residents, season pass holders, whatever, however you want to call it, annual pass holders. But yeah, there's going to be a toll on that bridge. And apparently there's not going to be a toll until we get a new bridge. So he says, again, Highway 98, you can't toll that, just like, you know, but tolling bridges is perfectly normal. So why does he want to delay a decision? Because, you know, they always talk about not kicking the can. They always talk about being, you know, taking the next steps. And even if we don't know how to fund this bridge, it is obvious that there's going to have to be one. So let's get going. Let's do the PD&E and get started. And he has an announcement to make. I'll tell you in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you. Still rolling good on I-10, I-110. Even Highway 29 is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So Colton Wright?
I spoke with FDOT this past week on Thursday afternoon. Reached out to Colby Cleveland over there and just asked some questions. You know, FDOT was very helpful and spent their money to do the initial feasibility study for the county. So they saved the county a significant sum of money for that. And if you, I know you gentlemen have all looked at that feasibility study for the proposed bridge. And the most reasonable approach for that bridge runs due south of 87 and directly over and attaches to existing county land on the south end on the island.
Yeah, the idea of taking 87 and basically crossing the Sound in order to get there to a plot of land that the Santa Rosa County already owns is the ideal answer. Now, it is going to create issues because the island is currently configured around the current landing. But yeah, there's no other design that makes any sense. Rebuilding on the existing footprint is dumb. Making it go from 87 over to the existing landing is super expensive. Just like bending 3 Mile Bridge around to go to the east side of Gulf Breeze, like some people proposed, would have been super expensive and ruin a lot of people's views. And anyway, that was a fine idea, theoretically, but no. It makes perfect sense to turn 87 and 98 basically into a cross instead of a T. And so that's what's going to happen, almost certainly. And, you know, if that happens, you also get additional advantages because you move the intersection away from the current Navarre Beach Bridge.
With that, if that was how it was done, it saves it. It streamlines traffic a lot because you get rid of the turn going southbound at where the existing location is. If we go,
he was talking about is there when you go on 87 south, and you want to go to Navarre Beach, you got to turn left to go on a 98, then you got to turn right to go on the bridge. Why not just make that a straight shot? He's right. That's the better alternative.
If we go down that road, that also saves FDOT a significant sum of money with regard to a flyover that was proposed on Highway 98 going through the Navarre area.
You've moved that traffic away from the city center, and you don't have to do a flyover anymore. So maybe FDOT is now motivated to help you build the bridge in a different location because that saves them an alternative for solving the traffic congestion.
I also know that Federal Highways, at the beginning of the month, reached out and asked FDOT for a copy of that feasibility study.
Oh.
What that tells me is a number of conversations that many of us have had with our federal legislators, you know, Congressman Petronas, Senator Scott, Senator Moody. It's obvious that those conversations are having an impact, and the impact from the conversations and the statements made by Colonel Deering and others from Herbert Field, that's obviously landing now. And it's not falling on deaf ears like it once was.
Because if you solve for the traffic congestion in Navarre, you solve for the traffic congestion through Navarre on Highway 98 to anybody who uses that to get to Hurlburt. The readiness issue that we've talked about so many times with Hurlburt, you're starting to solve some of those issues. And we can see the feds would have an interest in that maybe. So now you're talking FDOT money and federal money. It could genuinely be fairy dust money. Magic wand money could solve this problem.
And with Federal Highways asking for a copy of that feasibility study, that tells me that they have an interest in exploring the options and helping us fund and fast track not only the Highway 98 expansion, but I think that bridge as well, because that is part of the traffic issue.
Yeah, it definitely is.
I think with the relocation, that ties it to Highway 87 north and south, and it ties it to Highway 98 east-west, which therefore you could then make the argument that bridge could be on the SIS, on the strategic intermodal system.
Oh, we're talking about turning it into a grid that's valuable for evacuations. There's a lot of things that start to tie in when you get that location right.
We also have to remember Escambia County, I just found out, is apparently working on a study for the Bob Sykes Bridge.
The what we are? Sweet!
I know we want to be careful about time.
No, because this is a problem that's like coming. The Bob Sykes Bridge replacement is coming. That's a problem. We don't have money for it. There's been no real preparation for this. So the fact that Colton Wright is telling me this, I will definitely follow up with Wes Moreno about that. But apparently Escambia County is working on the Bob Sykes Bridge future, which good, we should be. We should have been doing it 10 years ago, but still now is better than then, or now is better than not, you know, later.
I know we want to be careful about tying one county to the other, but when you have Esquimi County looking at doing something similar, tying a new bridge construction and what that looks like and what that toll process looks like to the same barrier island, I think we probably need to make sure we kind of work through that with them.
Yeah.
And just make sure we're not creating any conflicts. And find out, frankly, if there's grant funding that they're going to be going after, maybe we should be going after the same thing.
Yeah, because, I mean, between the two bridges, you're creating a kind of a grid system. It's a big, weird-looking grid. But if you think about, you know, 399 on the beach and the Gulf Islands National Seashore and then Bob Sykes and the Navarre Beach Bridge, I mean, it's a grid. It's a big grid, but, you know, it's a grid system. So the strategic intermodal system, you start to get the TPO involved. I mean, FDOT, USDOT. I mean, there's a lot of players here. So what he says is, you know, nothing's going to happen in the next 30 to 60 days except we might find out something. So let's just pause a little bit. Let's not kick the can. Let's just gently nudge it a little farther down, you know, and kind of wait to see.
I think the key thing to me is when Federal Highways asked for a copy of that feasibility study, that a light bulb went off right there and says, hey, they clearly are hearing what we're saying and they understand the needs we have. And I would just like to see us try to push for that.
Yeah. I mean, this is suddenly great news, frankly, for Santa Rosa County. Ray Eddington, the Commissioner of Navarre.
Yes, sir, Mr. Rod. You are correct. I was in D.C. this past week, and Rick Scott's office and all of them, we had a good talk, and they are on board with us trying to help us find that money and some grants to pay for it. And I think that's the right way to go. And like I said, we had some good meetings. Hour later, they reached out to me by text. Hey, we are on board with you. We see what you need. We're going to try to help y'all. And that was a big plus for me, for them to see it my way.
Absolutely.
And that was like the connector road that is on board with me to help me with the connector road to get it going for the military. And that was a plus. And I was tickled to death when they reached back out to me saying they would help us.
Music to my ears, tickled to death, federal fairy dust money. I mean, it's good. It's good. And by the way, I think what Colton had in mind with Escambia and Bob Sykes was not like competing for grant money. I think the idea is if we're going to be working on both of these bridges to be replaced, maybe around the same time frame of each other, which is going to be a lot of money, you know, maybe we collaborate as a county and we make it a single project. I mean, mobilization costs, if you have a company that's doing one and then the other or both, you know, there might be some economies of scale to be had. At least I think that's what he has in mind. And, you know, certainly that makes sense. So this is all good news. This is all good news. I mean, it's all potential at this point, but it is all good news. 622 on News Radio 92.3. It's still going to be a toll. It's still going to be a toll. I'm Andrew McKay.
The History of the Blues is presented by Lambert Transfer and Storage.
World War II was over. The United States military had defeated the Japanese due in large part to the combat and support waged by the U.S. Navy's finest aviators. Despite this, there were many high-ranking civilian and military officials who considered naval aviation unnecessary and thought it should be disbanded altogether. Nonetheless, on April 24, 1946, Admiral Chester Nimitz, Chief of Naval Operations, issued a directive that a flight exhibition team be organized within the Naval Air Advanced Training Command to represent the Navy at air shows and at similar events. Selected to organize the team was Lieutenant Commander Butch Voris, a World War II combat ace who participated in practically all the major air campaigns in the South Pacific. Voris would select his teammates from among combat veterans who were on active duty as instructors at the training command. He chose Lieutenant Commander Lloyd Barnard and Lieutenant Maurice Wickendall, who were his squadron mates during the war, plus Lieutenant J.G. Mel Cassidy to complete the four-man team. But Barnard received orders to Texas and was replaced by Lieutenant Al Taddeo before the first public performance. Based out of Cecil Field near Jacksonville, the team flew the Grumman F-6F Hellcat propeller-driven plane, which served them so well during the war. The Hellcat was a very responsive aircraft. Of critical importance was its inherent stability during inverted flight. The Hellcats used were basically the same aircraft flown in World War II, but with armaments and certain armor removed. The planes were painted blue overall. Yellow paint was used for the words U.S. Navy on both sides of the fuselage and for the plane's number on each side of the tail. The team trained for only a month before their first public performance at the Southeastern Air Show at Craig Field outside Jacksonville on June 15, 1946. The team's 17-minute routine consisted of combat maneuvers and three of the planes flying the V formation about 12 feet apart while rolling on each plane's individual axis. Altitude ranged from 10 to 2,800 feet. The fourth plane was used to demonstrate the Hellcat's capabilities in solo maneuvers. The pilots did not have special uniforms as they do today. They flew in their regular flight suits. In fact, the team did not even have a name. That was to come later. And how the name was selected is quite a story. I'll be back with more after this.
Need to move across town, across the country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BVB accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all the surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sense Foundation. Choose a team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com today.
How the Blue Angels got their name, or should I say names, is the subject of our next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
You can find Subaru dealers all along the Gulf Coast from Panama City to Biloxi, but you'll only find Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. And among all those Subaru dealers, it's Anderson Subaru who's ranked highest by Google in customer satisfaction, 4.8 stars and climbing. Thank you to our loyal customers for your trust and to our incredible team for delivering the care and commitment Subaru owners deserve. You're going to love Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola.
Details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Fall into kindness. Waterfront Thrift is calling on you to donate your gently loved clothes, furniture, home decor, and household items. When you give, you're not just decluttering. Your donations help provide hope and critical support for homeless men and women at Waterfront Mission. Drop off your items at any Waterfront Thrift store Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. or schedule a free donation pickup online. Learn more at waterfrontthrift.org. Together, we can make this season a little brighter for those in need.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Even the mere mention of the word is sufficient to induce panic.
Tomato. Whoa!
All I can say is this. If you've never seen the super low-budget cult classic Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, you should. 627 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Pass the ketchup. Let's see. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Just got one accident that just happened at North Palafox and East Fairfield. It's off to the side of the road, but I just wanted you to be aware of that. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. 90, 98. I'm not seeing any delays to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to look that. How does that compare with the classic Attack of the 50-Foot Gila Monster?
Well, they're different.
Okay.
They're different.
Both good in their own ways, I'm sure. Well, the government shutdown going into week three, Andrew. Another vote in the Senate failing to end the shutdown yesterday. Democrats holding firm on demands to extend health care subsidies for Obamacare. No votes are scheduled for today. President Trump getting the go-ahead to deploy the National Guard to Portland, Oregon. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled yesterday that presidential determinations are not reviewable by federal courts, clearing the way for the Guard. And meanwhile, lawyers representing the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago are urging the Supreme Court to leave a ruling in place preventing the deployment of National Guard troops there. And Sharon Osbourne has announced that her dog Elvis has passed away. She wrote on Instagram yesterday that that the dog had died. It comes about 3 months after Ozzy passed away. The couple adopted the dog 14 years ago.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 629, News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, and that's really the time to start talking to Christina Leavenworth. She's a great realtor and her folks at Leavenworth Realty. If you're thinking about it, it's when you get the best information because your plans aren't firm. You know, a lot of times what happens is we mull something over for a while and we think about what we want to do and then we make a decision. All right, we're going to do this. And then you go talk to the expert and they're like, well, talk to him early and say, hey, I'm really just kind of feeling this idea out and wanted to get some input from you and, you know, chat about it. And that's, she loves talking to people about real estate and helping them understand, you know, where's the market at? What's the timing? You know, what are prices and rates and all that kind of likely to do? But just to help you before you get emotionally invested in a decision, which may not be a good one. You want to make a decision based on good evidence, and then you get emotionally invested in that decision as you get the outcome. Sold 165 homes last year, so they do pretty well. About three and a half, four every single week consistently. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. Brad Baker, the county administrator in Santa Rosa County, made a joke yesterday. We might share that with you coming up. There was also a little bit of drama. More drama in the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting yesterday. I'm going to share that with you, too, coming up. We'll be back.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Vice President J.D. Vance arriving in Israel as the Trump administration looks to stabilize a shaky ceasefire with Hamas.
Vice President J.D. Vance meets Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in an attempt to maintain positive momentum and ensure calm heads during what the vice president refers to as fits and starts. Prime Minister Netanyahu says the two men will discuss regional challenges and opportunities.
That's Fox's Jonathan Savage. Now President Trump is expected to meet with Senate Republicans as the government shutdown enters day 21.
The biggest driver of the shutdown is not health care or any other issue. It's the Democrats' far-left base.
That's Senate Majority Leader John Thune. He's expected to push a bill to pay both military and essential federal workers for the duration of the shutdown. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 55 degrees. It is mostly clear skies here in Pensacola this morning. A Milton woman has died after a crash on Highway 4 near Three Notch Trail Monday afternoon. Officials say her vehicle overturned after she veered off the road and hit a utility pole. The 54-year-old woman was taken to a local hospital where she was pronounced dead. An investigation into that crash continues. Federal highway authorities showing some interest in the potential replacement of the Navarre Beach Causeway Bridge, which Santa Rosa commissioners are hoping could lead to some funding options for the structure. Federal officials did request a 2021 feasibility study on the bridge. Commissioner Ray Eddington also recently reported that federal officials did express some willingness to assist with funding during a trip to Washington, D.C. The bridge was built back in 1960. It's been deemed structurally obsolete. It's critical for traffic flow to Hurlburt Field. Congestion there has been cited as a military readiness issue. The estimated cost for replacement exceeds $100 million. Well, an update on that reported murder-suicide in Spanish Fort over the weekend. Officials there identifying the victim as 41-year-old Vero Monique Dubose of Mobile. Her husband, Arayan Dubose, was also found deceased with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Both were in a white Chevy Tahoe on the causeway Sunday. An investigation into that is ongoing. A custodian at Blue Angels Elementary School in Escambia County has been arrested on charges related to attempting to lure a child for sexual conduct. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement said 56-year-old Chad Wren is charged with obscene communication to seduce a child, attempting to travel to meet a child, and using a two-way device to facilitate a felony. Wren is currently being held in the Escambia jail on $30,000 bond and has resigned from his position with Escambia County Public Schools. The school district did reassure parents that the safety of students is their primary concern. They said all the appropriate actions have been taken. A new proposal aiming to allow voluntary acceptance of pay below Florida's voter-approved minimum wage has been filed for the upcoming 2026 legislative session. That legislation filed by Representative Ryan Chamberlain, who said it could apply to positions classified as work study, internship, pre-apprenticeship, or similar work-based learning opportunities. Now, supporters say that could provide valuable skills through entry-level work. Opponents, though, believe employers could misuse the exemption to label regular jobs as being internships. Florida's minimum wage is currently $14 an hour. It's set to increase to $15 an hour next year following a 2020 constitutional amendment. an update on that shooting on Langley Avenue over the weekend. PPD does say that it may potentially be a stand-your-ground case. They identified the victim that died as 21-year-old Jameer Jackson of Pensacola. He died at a local hospital. Officers responded to that shooting on Sunday morning. A second person at the scene had been pistol-whipped. Right now, there's no word on injuries for that person. Officials say the incident is still being investigated. 635 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Back to rolling accident-free right now. Not seeing any accidents or delays. It looks like Highway 29, 90, 98 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We do have a beautiful day in store for you today. Plenty of sunshine starting off in the 50s, getting into the low 80s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 79. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 53. Keeping the sunshine around on Thursday with a high near 79 degrees. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 56. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 55. We've got clear skies. Our next news in 30 minutes, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were lower this morning as investors continued to monitor the government shutdown and growing optimism for a resolution. The 10-year Treasury yield dropped nearly 2 basis points to 3.97%. The 2-year Treasury note yield fell around 1 basis point to 3.455%. Oil prices are moderately higher on oversupply fears. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $58.02 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $61.51 per barrel. Coca-Cola is set to report earnings, and in recent quarters, the beverage maker has reported weaker demand in some key markets, like the U.S. and Latin America. For the full year, the beverage company is expecting comparable earnings per share to rise 3% and organic revenue growth of 5 to 6%. Shares of Coke have risen nearly 10% this year. Futures are slightly lower. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 515. The NASDAQ up 310. The S&P 500 up 71. That's Your Money Now.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
Let's go. You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
ADX Communications, the family-owned broadcaster behind Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola, and Pensacola's Playlist, is looking for our next great electronics technician. You'll handle the installation, maintenance, and repair of studio and transmitter gear, network systems, and more, keeping our award-winning radio stations sounding their very best. We offer competitive pay, medical, dental, and vision coverage, a 401k with company match, plus paid vacation and holidays. If you have the skills, the drive, and the passion for serving our community, apply now at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX Communications, serving our communities and looking for you. If you love electronics, reach out today. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Remember when they used to ask, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" At Bank of America, we ask every day, "What would you like the power to do?" When you work here, you help build businesses, inspire communities, and forge legacies. And now we've raised our U.S. minimum wage to $25 an hour. So the opportunity to do more also comes with competitive pay. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/25. Bank of America, proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
I know you don't normally get a twofer. Same hour.
I know.
But there's a reason, because we have to talk about the Fairhope No Kings thing at 7. And based on the separation of the topics in the show, we have to cover this now. So here you go. We just talked about this, actually, that you had the Navarre Beach Bridge conversation, and they're going to postpone having a PD&E study done because the feds and at least the feds and FDOT seem like they might be interested in helping with this now, which is all good news, okay? But you had at least one person who was very worked up about the idea of the tolls and making sure that the tolls didn't happen. And so in the discussion about the bridge, when they were ready to move on from that, I think it was that person who decided that he was going to have a back-and-forth match with Kerry Smith, the chairman of the county commission, who had some incidents in the prior county commission meeting where he, you know, had to have somebody removed because of what he says he thought he heard and what maybe the person did say, told him to shut up. And anyway, there's a big drama that was in the conversation about the sewer to septic to sewer conversion. So here's what happened yesterday at Tiger Point.
All right, hearing no discussion, no more discussion. I tend to agree with that. I don't know about the rest of the board, but that sounds like a pretty good idea to sir, no, your time's done. This time, no, sir. The answer is no. No. Sir, you're disturbing a public meeting. With this time, it's not your time. Sir, let me explain this to you real easy. This time is our time of the meeting. There's no more with the public, okay? Okay? We do have impact fees in place. I'm not trying to upset you, but this is our time. Sir, your opinion and ideas are valuable to us. Not right now, okay? That's as simple as I can put it, all right? So please, just refrain from speaking out from your seat, okay, because at this time you're being a disturbance to the meeting, okay? All right, I'm going to thank you for that.
I mean, Kerry's as calm as you could possibly be, like as patient, I mean, way beyond patient. It was good. I think he probably, you know, he didn't love how it happened the last time, and he's like, sir. Which good. I mean, good. It's how elected officials should be, you know? And so kudos. He handled it well and just very patiently explaining to him, not your time. I value your opinion, you know, being very kind and gentle and, you know, it was good. So they move on in the conversation and, and then what turned out to be my favorite moment of the meeting yesterday. Honestly, this was fun. So Brad Baker, voices you're going to hear, Brad Baker, county administrator, Colton Wright. I think you're going to hear a little bit of Rhett Ryle and the same voice for Kerry Smith. So here goes.
Mr. Chairman, the next item is also a cash carry forward approval of budget amendment 2026-010, carry forward general funds that were allocated but unspent in the amount of $88,900, and this was for vinyl plank flooring at the South Service Center and new circuits for the generators at the EOC.
Any more discussion amongst the board? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to move that to Thursday's consent agenda without objection.
Mr. Chairman, you can see the next item on your screen is 6-7. Yes, yes, nothing? Nothing from anybody? Man. I see that y'all are not basketball fans or TikTokers.
I've got teenage daughters. I know all about that. I've heard it enough, sir.
I just did get educated on this Friday on Andrew McKay's show. So I'm a little late.
That's yes! A win! Oh! We win!
No, the student has become the master. It's all come full circle now. And I love the first reaction you hear to this.
Mr. Chairman, you can see the next item on your screen is 6-7.
Listen.
Yes. Yes. Nothing?
Yes, yes. And I can just imagine that a room full of old Santa Rosa County residents, older.
What did he say?
Who have no idea. Where and have shown up to this meeting wanting to talk about toll bridges and whatnot, and just are completely the what is happening? I don't even know what you all are talking about. Yeah, that's right. This is definitely a Michelle Salzman kind of moment.
What the Florida?
So
I told my 13-year-old I'd try to pull that one off for y'all today. So, and I predicted who would get it, by the way.
Yeah.
But it is approval of budget amendment 2026-011 to carry forward road and bridge funds that were allocated but unspent.
We have any more discussion amongst the board? I'm just having a little chuckle looking at the crowd because everybody's looking at each other like, what?
Well, I was just wondering how long we were going to delay it, if it would be 6 or 7 minutes.
Any more discussion? None. I'll make a motion to move that to Thursday's consent agenda without objection.
And look, if you know, you're dying. If you don't know, you're just, what in the hell is going on over here?
But you could go back to the podcast and listen to the whole
discussion.
You could.
Was it Friday? Was it 7 o'clock mm-hmm. Friday? Is that when we talked? When I explained all of this to you? All you old people without teenagers. So, oh my goodness. The audience had no idea. Just the blankest of blank stares. So, well done. I love to be able to be an educational resource, you know?
I've got teenage daughters. I know all about that. I've heard it enough, sir.
I just did get educated on this Friday on Andrew McKay's show.
Yes, sir. That's what we do. 6:47 here on 6:47 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has got traffic on the 6s or 7s, whatever.
6 or 7. Yeah, it'll fit in there. All right. So no accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Just some minor delays on Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10, trying to get onto I-10 westbound. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pakins with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you are thinking about retiring, or if you're 64, turn 65, or you have questions about Medicare or Medicaid or any of that kind of stuff, Ricky Stewart can take care of you. I mean, we're getting into like close to open enrollment time, but so you're going to definitely want to talk to her about that stuff if it's, you know, if that applies to you. But also, you know, one of the things that is kind of neat about her handling this is her whole family does insurance. She does this one part. She helps people with Medicare. And, you know, I mean, she can answer questions about Medicaid and all that, you know, supplement and prescription drugs and Advantage and all that. But also, she's available all year long. And one of the things that her clients learn is, you know, it's not just at open enrollment time, which is kind of when there's a flurry of activity. But I mean, you may have questions about drugs or benefits or doctors or any of that stuff, and she's always there to help you all year round. So if any of that applies to you or you just want to talk with somebody, give her a call, 341-2185, Ricky Stewart Insurance. Let's see, 437-1620, 437-1620. What was the other thing that I was going to tell you about? All of a sudden, it went straight out of my brain, and I apologize. That's my fault entirely. So, you know, we'll just move on to something else. I don't know. I know what it was. I was going to explain, not to too much mansplain all this, but the 6-7 thing, the closest analog I can come up with is It's like when somebody says 69. When you're a juvenile inside a 54-year-old body, guilty, John?
Guilty. Yeah,
you know, you laugh because it's, you know, there's a part of you, and maybe you don't laugh out loud in public places where you had to wear a tie and a jacket to go to, but, you know, like, you chuckle because it's funny to you. But the difference is that one, the 6'7", it's not even, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing prurient. There's nothing lurid or sexual. It's just funny. So, you know, that's my, it's just for a different generation. That's all there is to it. 6:50 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Right now, somewhere close, your dream house is sitting there. Maybe it's got the perfect porch, a backyard made for barbecues, a kitchen built for big family meals, and it's just waiting for you to call it home. At PenAir Credit Union, we make it easy to get there with great rates, flexible loans, and local lenders who know the market. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing, we're here to help. So what are you waiting for? Learn more at penair.org/homeloans. Equal housing lender.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim and Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
69, dudes!
Here at the Paradise.
Good morning, 6:52 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Tuesday to you. Hope your Monday was better than mine. I got home and almost home, and I get that alert from the car that says, you have low tire pressure. I mean, it didn't say it in that voice, but, you know, getting it dings at me or whatever.
I like that.
And I'm like, what? And I was real close to home, so I get home, and sure enough, I got screwed. Right in the middle of the tire tread, too, man. It was so annoying. And so, you know, I had to deal with all of that. Fun times, good times. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines with that great introduction.
Those nails will get you, man.
Yeah, not a nail. Screwed.
Oh,
I got a
gotcha.
Screw.
Okay.
Somebody joked online and said, well, you know, if it's hissing, just tighten it up real good. It'll be fine.
Yes. Yep, the price to pay for living in a developing area.
That's right.
Always
construction
going on.
Yeah. Well, you know, and honestly, okay, this is of all the people who were gonna steal that screw from the contractors. That's what one of my friends said. Yeah, the contractor probably thinks, man, who's taking all my screws? Yeah, it's kind of a funny change of perspective. But you know, I thought to myself, look, I have the time. You know, the money's annoying, but it's, you know, whatever. Of all the people who could have been inconvenienced by that screw yesterday, I'll take the hits, fine, you know, because it might have been devastating to somebody else's day or somebody who's like living paycheck to paycheck, you know, they can't
Absolutely.
Afford.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not happy about it, but It was going to happen to somebody.
I just hope it was a size that you could reuse on some type of a home project at the McKay Homestead. Amazon Web Services says that they've fixed the widespread internet outages that disrupted major websites and apps yesterday. Services like Venmo, Microsoft Outlook, Zoom, Snapchat, Lyft, Alexa, Ring, Roblox, all sorts of things were all offline yesterday.
The Starbucks app, the McDonald's app.
Yes.
I'm glad you brought this up yesterday because I didn't know it was happening. I get home and my son, who does remote work at PSC, is like, I can't get onto my Canvas. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, Canvas is broken. I'm like, that's the interface that they use to get all of their assignments and submit their stuff and all this stuff. I'm like, well, this is really everywhere. And my wife, she'd gone to McDonald's, and she's like, I couldn't use the app for a while yesterday. I'm like, oh, good Lord, it's really everywhere.
Right in the middle of Monopoly.
Yeah, right? Which, by the way, just side note, you know, you can get free pieces through the app of Monopoly without going to the store. And you can just, like, 10 pieces a day, you can win all kinds of free stuff from doing nothing. So, you know, shakes and fries, and John looks surprised. Anyway, go ahead, David. Sorry,
yeah,
I
thought
you so
it
much.
Was a purchase necessary.
No, it's always been that way. No purchase necessary. You could always just go get tickets, just people never did. But the app has it, I guess, digitally, so I haven't done it yet, but she has. Anyway, go ahead, David.
So Ticketmaster says they're cracking down on scalping. The company is planning to limit users to one account using Social Security or taxpayer ID verification numbers. They'll also be implementing AI to spot and cancel reseller accounts. And the government shutdown, 3 weeks now, tying for the second longest shutdown in U.S. history, and still no end in sight. Another Senate vote failing yesterday. Democrats are still insisting on health care subsidies for the Affordable Care Act.
So nothing has changed.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Same old same.
Can I make a prediction?
Sure.
Next round of military paychecks. That's, we've got 2 weeks, right?
Right.
Week and a half. Okay. That's my prediction. Is nothing's going to happen until then. There's a good chance something at that point or
also,
right before that point.
Also, November, SNAP benefits. A lot of states are going to be running out of funding for SNAP benefits. That'll be a big tipping point for it as well.
Yeah, if we get there. But yeah, you're right. David, thanks so much for the update. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. If you're on 98 going westbound right before the Lillian Highway Bridge, there was a car that was rear-ended and pushed into the woods. Again, that's westbound, so just be careful with that. And plan accordingly. I'm starting to see some delays in that area. I-10, I-110, they are still looking good. Let's see here. Even 98, Highway 90, I'm not seeing any delays other than that one. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, John, thanks so much for the update. Appreciate that. Oh, somebody texts in and says, the contractor can easily go down to Pensacola Hardware to replace the screw that Andrew stole from him.
I love it.
Y'all are the best.
I love
it. You do. You make my day all the time. Oh, I have a secret. I don't know if it's a secret.
Whoa,
exactly.
Wait a second.
Secret's a bit much, but the classic movie Spinal Tap, right? Classic Rob Reiner satire on all, you know, it's a mockumentary of rock and roll bands. And if you go to the IMDb, the Internet Movie Database page, and this is kind of because I was telling this to John earlier, and I'm like, just pull up IMDb on your phone. And he's like, the what? I'm like, the app. He's like, I don't have that. And I'm like, well, go to the website. He's like, which one? I'm like, because I'm on IMDb like 10 times a day. I'm watching TV. I'm trying to figure out who an actor is, an actress is. Like, it's the old Blockbuster employee. I mean, always on IMDb. Anyway, if you go to the This Is Spinal Tap page for IMDb, you will notice something. The movie is rated a 7.9, but it's a 7.9 out of 11.
You can see.
Yeah.
The numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board.
Oh.
11, oh, 11,
and most of
11.
And then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it?
So some marketing nerd, that'd be me. No, it'd be someone like me, said, I got an idea. All of our ratings go to 10, but this one? It goes to 11. When I first heard about this, I thought maybe the movie itself would be rated 11 out of 11, but it's not. It's like a 7.9 out of 11. Anyway, I thought that was funny. And for those of you who don't know, I have discovered something today, by the way. It's a painful discovery. It's a sad discovery. I've discovered that Gen Xers come in at least two varieties. Because Gen X is an age, right? There are the Gen Xers of, let's say, my type. who grew up watching way too much TV and movies and quoting TV and movies a lot, all the time, over and over. And then there's John's type of Gen X, which presumably you were,
music.
I don't know, playing outside. And yeah. Well, we listen to a lot of music, too. I don't know, doing things like talking to girls, playing sports. You know, did that sometimes, too. And you've seen the movies, but you don't know the movies. And so when I make these all the time, movie references, John sometimes knows and sometimes doesn't, and sometimes looks at me and like, what do you mean Attack of the Killer War Tomatoes? But I don't know what you're talking about. That doesn't make any sense to me. All right, coming up next, why did a 61-year-old woman get arrested at the Fairhope No Kings protest? It's local funny. Talk in the morning.